Hello again, and welcome to the second episode of Monsters Among Us, a Filipino-Asian true crime podcast. And this is your host, Chachi. First of all, today's topic is very painful to talk about, yet very necessary. This case is close to my heart since one of the victims was a very good friend of mine. And I'm very proud of him, and I believe it's a must that we continue to talk about him and his companions who were brutally murdered and were victims of impunity. True crime isn't just about serial killings. It also involves murders and massacres committed even by the state. Today's episode is an example of multiple crimes committed by the so-called forces that were supposed to protect its citizens. This episode is about the New Bataan 5 massacre, which happened just last February 23 of this year in Barangay Andap, New Bataan in Davao de Oro, Philippines. The New Bataan 5, or individually Chad Book and Jerrane Muho II, two volunteer teachers in Lumad School, Eligine Balonga, a community health worker, and Tirso Anyar and Robert Aragon, their drivers, were brutally killed by the Armed Forces of the Philippines 10th Infantry Division in New Bataan, Davao de Oro, Philippines, while they were on their research work. Family members, advocacy groups, and activists have described the event as a massacre, while the AFP asserted that what happened was an encounter between the forces of the New People's Army and the AFP. Here, we are calling it what it's supposed to be, a massacre. And I will lay down the facts as to why this is considered a massacre and not an encounter. And for us to be able to lay the foundation of these facts, it is important to discuss what type of people are the New Bataan 5. I want more people to know who the New Bataan 5 were, why is their death important, and why it's necessary to condemn the AFP and hold them accountable for killing these innocent people. First, let's talk about my very dear friend, which I mentioned during the start of this podcast. Chad Errol Ramirez Book, or Chad, was a Filipino volunteer teacher in Alternative Learning Center for Agricultural and Livelihood Development, or ALCADEV, one of the few schools dedicated to the Lumad, or the indigenous people specifically located in Mindanao. I've met Chad and became friends with him in 2015. We met in Manilakbayan, or Lakbayan ng Pambansang Minorya. When translated in English, it's Journey of the National Minorities. This is an annual march, rally, and camp out by the minority people of the Philippines, including the indigenous people from different parts of the country. This started in 2012 and became an annual activity from October to November. The objective of Manilakbayan is to protest against human rights violations, lack of self-determination, exploitation of ancestral lands, and lack of basic social services within communities of indigenous peoples. The participants have been termed as Lakbayani, combination of words Lakbay, meaning journey, and Bayani, meaning hero. Lakbayan started because of the marginalized situation of indigenous peoples in the Philippines. As mentioned, many of them are affected by militarization, environmental degradation, resource plunder, and also the ongoing counter-insurgency war of the Philippine government, which forced them to evacuate or become bakwit to schools, churches, and other evacuation centers. This situation has been ongoing long before the first Lakbayan. What happens in Lakbayan is that the minorities will start to travel from their respective homelands. The Lumad and the Moro people will travel from Mindanao to Visayas and meet the other Lakbayanis there before they travel to Luzon and meet the other indigenous peoples like the Aita, the Mangyan, the Dumagat, and the Igorot. I remember their last stop before going to our campus, which is UP Los Baños, is always Bicol. The students and youth volunteers from our campus We'll welcome them, and then they will stay in our campus for about 2 or 3 days, if my memories are correct. And then the Lakbayanis will travel to UP Diliman and stay there for a few days too before traveling to Manila to camp out. Chad and I were both youth volunteers for Manilakbayan. Although we're from different campuses, I was from UP Los Baños while Chad was from UP Diliman. We eventually became friends because from the time the Lakbayanis arrived at UP Los Baños, I joined the group and camped out with them in UP Diliman and even in Manila. We met in UP Diliman. I already made friends with some LUMAD kids, although we had a language barrier because I only know Tagalog. Chad was from Mandaue City in Visayas region, so he knew how to speak Bisaya, which the LUMAD kids are also familiar with. I remember the time he noticed I was struggling with communicating with the kids and even one of the tribe's chiefs, so he stepped up and helped me communicate with them. Naturally, we became friends and we spent that weekend hanging out and getting to know the LUMAD. The kids really love to learn, the LUMAD kids. They're very curious and passionate. During the short time they spent with us, they already learned how to speak Tagalog while I struggled learning few terms from Manobo dialect. They're very intelligent. However, they share that it's not easy for them to get access on education. The distance from their ancestral lands to the nearest public school are a lot of kilometers away. They often compute the distance in comparison to how many mountains and rivers they'll have to travel just to go to school. Because of this, the LUMAD themselves initiated the establishment of schools specific for their needs, thus the birth of Alcadev and similar LUMAD or Bakwit schools. And of course, they needed teachers. I knew Chad wanted to volunteer as soon as he graduates from the university because I remembered him being all eyes and ears while the tribe's chiefs shared their stories, how happy and simple their lives as indigenous people. And I also remembered him saying that's his dream life. And while he was waiting for the right time to fulfill that dream life, his undergraduate thesis was he created a mental health first aid mobile app in partnership with UP Manila. He also participated in improving a Manobo dictionary app, which is headed by Ricardo de Leon. Even during his student days, he used his knowledge and skills for the Filipino people. So it wasn't really a surprise when he decided to be a volunteer in Alcadev, in which he eventually became a math teacher. As soon as he graduated with a cum laude degree in computer science, he started his volunteer work, which made him also a paralegal, human rights worker, and the social media handler of Alcadev-related accounts. And from being a youth volunteer, he went on and became one of the organizers of the Lakbayan. He championed the rights of the marginalized for education and self-determination. He also experienced being forced evacuated because military forces were harassing them in the LUMAD's own ancestral lands. Because of his activism, he experienced death threats, most of which he posted on social media. I remember that one Facebook post of him in December of 2017, which he captioned, "Blame the AFP for my death." In this post, he enumerated in details the death threats he's been receiving, which were from accounts that showed they were part of the military. One of the profiles used to send death threats to him was convincing him to surrender, tagging him as a terrorist. How on earth is servicing the minorities an act of terrorism? How on earth is teaching about human rights an act of terrorism? But that didn't stop him. In using his voice, threats on him didn't end, and yet he has used the social media in trying to reach wider audiences. He also became vocal on the experiences of urban poor communities in his hometown. He was arrested twice, first in Batasang Pambansa on July 17, 2017, along with seven other youths and LUMAD teachers. in protest against martial law in Mindanao under President Rodrigo Duterte, they interrupted the special joint session of the House of Representatives to vote whether or not the island-wide martial law should be extended. They were freed on July 25 and had their cases dismissed on October 2 of the same year. They continued to speak up against rampant militarization of the AFP against Lumad communities, especially under martial law. The second instance was when the University of San Carlos was raided on February 15, 2021. Talamban campus of the University of San Carlos served as a Lumad sanctuary for the Lumad who stayed there because of quarantine restrictions. Chad, along with six others, were arrested without warrant. The combined police and military forces said that they quote-unquote rescued 19 Lumad youths, saying that the Lumads were being trained as armed combatants. The youths were flown to Davao de Oro where they evacuated in the first place because of state militarization. The university itself, through the Societas Verbas Divini, Philippine Southern Province, and the Archdiocese of Cebu, Commission on Social Advocacy said that they were helping the Bakwit school and they were there because they were stuck because of quarantine restrictions. They were still charged with kidnapping, serious illegal detention, child abuse, and human trafficking. Those arrested included co-teacher Rochelle May Porcadilla, Lumad chieftains Segundo Lagatos Melong, Benito Dalim Bayao, and students Modi Langayed Mansimoy at Esmelito Paumba Oribawan and Jomar Benag. They were collectively called Bakwit School 7. Because of this, a free Chad Book network was launched. And on March 17, the UP Diliman's College of Engineering condemned the red tagging against them and they were joined by numerous student councils and organizations from the university in demanding the freedom of Chad and his companions. You were detained for about 3 months at the Police Regional Office, Region 7, until on May 14, their cases were dismissed by the Davao del Norte Provincial Prosecutor and they were set free. The prosecutor said that the cases lacked evidence, probable cause, and were outside its territorial jurisdiction. The National Union of People's Lawyers Cebu, lawyers who handled them, said that the dismissal of the cases validates our firm assertion that the persistent red-tagging efforts on Lumad schools by the state forces are baseless and unfounded. Chad's counsel, Attorney Antonio Lavinia, said that after the release, the Lumad teachers, including Chad, intended to return to Mindanao to continue to teach to Lumad, and they expressed fear that they may get arrested again in the future. But that fear then stopped them. Especially Chad, in serving the Lumad. He returned to Mindanao and continued his volunteer work as a Lumad teacher. Jerain, on the other hand, is someone I haven't met in person, but we had many common friends. Jerain Nguho II, or Teacher Jerain, was a graduate of Liceo de Davao Bris Campus in Tagum City, with a degree in secondary education majoring in English. He was supposed to turn 24 this October 3. He came from a humble family of farmers and was known for being patient and soft-spoken. He's also known by his friends as a great musician. Immediately after graduating, Jerain embodied the mission of the Lumad Education, which is to use one's skills and knowledge to serve marginalized communities by becoming a teacher for the Community Technical College of Southeastern Mindanao, or CTCSM. After a year, he decided to become a volunteer teacher for the Bakwit School in Manila in 2018 and then in Cebu in 2019 and 2020. Like Chad, he was also a recipient of threats and intimidation from state forces for his work as a volunteer Lumad school teacher. I want to quote one thing Jerain said about the red tagging they experienced when they were still alive. He said that the only weapon they teach to their students are their rights and how to fight for it. Eligin Balonga was a community health worker who served in UCCP Haran, a Lumad sanctuary in Davao City, from 2013 to 2018. She also facilitated medical students for their internship in UCCP Haran. Eligin was active in numerous medical missions in remote areas such as Talaingod and Kapalong, Davao del Norte. She lived a life of service for the Lumad, farmers, and workers. And just like Chad and Jerrine, Eligin had been subjected to threats, harassment, intimidation, including death threats, red tagging and terror tagging, and surveillance just because she's been serving the communities that are forgotten by the government. The three of them, together with two civilians, their drivers who were Tirso Anyar and Robert Aragon, were on their way back home from conducting a community visit as part of the research work in Barangay Andap, Nubataan in Davao, when the AFP ambushed and murdered them last February 23, 9:30 p.m. Eligin was still able to send a text message to her family asking to fetch them, and this was the last known contact. The heinous crime was committed by the 10th Infantry Division of the Armed Forces of the Philippines under the false accusation that the five were members of the New People's Army. For listeners outside the Philippines who were not familiar with the NPA, the New People's Army, or the NPA, is the armed wing of the Communist Party of the Philippines and is based primarily on the countryside. They are key in advancing the People's Democratic Revolution and were tagged by the government as terrorists. However, the Manila Regional Trial Court junked the case filed by the Department of Justice to tag them as terrorists and concluded that the constitution and program of the CPP-NPA, including its justification for armed struggle, fall under rebellion and do not constitute the legal definition of terrorism. With this, the AFP has long been using the narrative that activists and even community workers and teachers working in the countryside and helping the underserved communities are part of the NPA. They use this as justification in killing innocent individuals like the Nubataan Five. When the news about the Nubataan Five massacre has been released to the media, the AFP claimed that they were killed in an encounter. An encounter is the term they use when an armed battle between the AFP and the NPA happens. They were claiming that Chad, Jerrine, Eligin, Tirso, and Robert were armed and got killed because there's an encounter. But initial information from locals confirms that there was no encounter that took place. Even the CPP said that there were no NPA units in the area at the time of the event. The families of the victims learned of the gruesome massacre only on October 25, Friday, 2 days after the event, when the 10th Infantry Division posted a press release on their official Facebook page parading the murders of the five unarmed civilians with their claims that they were killed in an encounter a day prior. They had the audacity to take photos of the five victims' dead bodies and post it on Facebook as if they were bragging about a successful hunt. Imagine how shattering it was to learn of your loved one's death through a Facebook post from those who murdered them. I really can't wrap my head around the fact that the so-called protectors of the state can easily kill innocent people and be proud about it. I don't know, maybe some may argue that I'm being biased against the AFP just because Chad was my friend. But, well, I am biased because I know Chad and I know how brutal these state agents are against those who fight and serve the masses. Even evidences show that their claim of it being an encounter is a ridiculous claim. Forensic pathologist Dr. Raquel Fortun conducted an autopsy on Chad's body, and I'll be reading a part of the report. It says, preliminary gross findings showed multiple gunshot wounds of the trunk causing death. There were internal hemorrhages with lacerations of the lungs, diaphragm, liver, spleen, stomach, intestines, right kidney, and right adrenal gland. There were fractures of some ribs, right 8th, 9th, and 11th, and thoracic vertebrae, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. The spinal cord was transected. Radiological examination disclosed bullets fragments in the trunk. A deformed bullet was recovered from the left chest wall. There was also a gunshot wound of the right elbow with fractures of the distal humerus, proximal radius, and ulna. The manner of death is classified as homicide. Cause of death was homicide. He wasn't just shot and killed. He was shot multiple times and even tortured. Because how did he able to sustain lacerations in different parts of his body and organs if they just shot him? Even his ribs were fractured and his spinal cord was transected. Dr. Fortune even said during an online press forum on March 11, looking into the background of these people, she doesn't think they are armed combatants. She added, and I quote, "Is this really the mindset of the armed state agents, that they will just shoot the non-combatants? Not only shooting to disable them, but shooting to kill them." End quote. No autopsy was conducted on the rest of the New Bataan Five, but the initial observations of Jurain and Elegin's respective families on the bodies of the two are also similar. Multiple gunshot wounds and bruises. Jurain's body sustained several gunshot wounds and a part of the skin on his stomach and right thigh had been peeled off. Elegin's left leg had been cut off a few inches below the knee, while her right foot was cut off near the ankle. The dismembered limbs were wrapped and reattached using packaging tape. Blood clots had also formed on Elegin's fingertips. Based on the visible marks on her body, she was also shot on her right knee and below the right elbow. Her jaw was also visibly torn off and her nose bridge was bruised. It is clearly an overkill. They said it's an encounter, but the evidences say otherwise. Aside from parading their bodies online like war trophies, they also had the audacity to delay their families when they went to retrieve their bodies in Davao. How heartless can you be that you had to delay giving their bodies to their families? During Chad's time in the Lumad, he learned that the Lumad believes that when they die, they were not being buried. They were being planted. He realized that it is connected to the Lumad's relation with their ancestral land, with their struggle. When you are planted, you will go back to the soil where you came from. You are like a seedling that's being planted by the farmer, hoping you will bear fruits. When you are planted, it means you will bloom again. You will grow and multiply. When you are planted, it will not be your end. It is your beginning. And with this, Chad and the rest of the New Bataan Five's families planted the remains in March of this year. When you visit Chad's Twitter profile, he pinned an image sent by his mom. It says, "Padayon, I'm already proud of you because no matter how terrible each struggle is, you can still find reason to keep going. There's always a reason to keep going." Chad's family, and I'm sure Jurain, Elegin, Terso, and Robert's families were very proud of them. No amount of red tagging and smear campaigns would tarnish their names. Chad and Jurain will be always remembered and loved by the indigenous peoples, specifically the Lumad children, because of their dedication and courage to fight for them. Elegin will be always remembered as a selfless health worker who chose to use her knowledge and skills to serve the communities in the countryside. Tirso and Robert will be always remembered by their families and friends. I hope today's episode helped us learn that there are people who go the extra mile to serve others, and these people were often pressured and even had their lives taken because of the principles they believe in. Today's episode is to honor the selfless individuals to honor volunteer teachers, community workers, and everyone who dedicated their lives for the service of the masses and to call for justice. The fight of our indigenous people for their ancestral land and self-determination is still ongoing. They still experience harassment, and most of them were still displaced. If anyone is interested to help, even through monetary contribution, the link to Save Our Schools Network Fundly can be found on the show notes. Even if you can't contribute donations, you can still visit Save Our Schools Network Facebook page to see how you can help. Padayon in English means continue or keep going. So for our modern day heroes, our champions of human rights, padayon. And that ends the second episode. If you like this episode, please rate and make sure to subscribe and click the follow button. This podcast is available in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Please also follow our Instagram and Twitter accounts. I'll be posting photos of my good friend Chad, Teacher Jureen, Elijin, Tirso, and Robert on our socials. If there's a case you want me to cover, you can email me at monstersamongus2022@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. See you on the next episode for another true crime story. Bye.